Did anybody get a chance to witness to anybody this week about the love of God? Can I see your hands? One. Anybody else? Two. Anybody else? Three, four, five, six, seven. Isn't it powerful? It's powerful, isn't it? When you begin to share, you can be seated. I'll just share with you real quickly. When I was talking to a gentleman, and maybe this will help you, I just said to him as he was waiting on me, he was a waiter, he was waiting on my table, and I said, excuse me, I said, do you have interest in spiritual things? And he looked at me and he said, funny you should ask. I said, why is that? He said, because I just received an email, and I don't know where this came from, but it says Jesus will take care of all my needs. I said, really? And he showed it to me on his phone. He said, I don't know who sent it. He said, send it to 15 more people. And I just got it. He said, I'm going to tell you right now, I was drunk all night last night. I barely went to work here today. I said, really? I said, well, it's no mistake. We're talking. And so we were able to share with him the love of Christ and ask him to receive Jesus as his Savior and left him there. But, you know, you never know the arrangements of the Holy Spirit, right? I didn't know he had that email on his phone that says Jesus is doing something in his life or whatever. I had no idea it was there, but God knew it was there, right? And so if I missed that opportunity, it wouldn't have been a confirmation to what he's receiving. And it was just a powerful, powerful moment. So I pray that everyone is beginning to feel that release to do that, right? Amen. Hallelujah. I want to share the word with you a little bit tonight. Can I do that? And we'll look forward to what God wants to do on Sunday. I tell you, I've been in study all day today. I'm so blessed. I'm so thankful. I got on my knees and thanked the Lord a couple times today that I'm able to study all day. Thank you for allowing me to do that. And I'm just enjoying the word. And we've been studying the 42 cities that Israel visited over 40 years once they left Egypt. And it's an amazing journey that God took Israel on. And they're very significant because in Jewish tradition, they say those 42 cities are 42 steps to spiritual completion. And as I've been getting into it and studying it, wow, I've been really blessed, you know. But tonight I want to share with us how great is our God and how powerful is he who lives inside of you. I mean, wow, I know you know that, but let's just break it down and look at it for a few moments. Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. Let's start there and go through the whole Bible tonight. You want to? No, I'm just kidding. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 1 says this. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now, that's the introduction that you and I receive about God. And the word God there is Elohim. You say that with me? Elohim. And I'm sure a lot of you know what Elohim means, but God introduces himself in the Bible to us, the very first term, the very first identity as Elohim. It comes from a compound Hebrew word, El, and it talks a bit about his creative power, his might, his sovereignty, and his creativity. Not just creativity, but complete creativity. So when God, Elohim, the one who has complete creativity, complete sovereignty and power and might, created the earth. See, this is the same God that lives in you and me. And I want to show you this because it's the same God who desires a personal relationship with you. When I was speaking to this gentleman the other day, he said, oh, I know. I said, I've been going to church. I said, stop right there. We're not talking about church. I said, man, I don't even like church. Not the kind of church he was talking about. And I said, the church is the people. God loves people. And he wants to show himself strong, not weak. Religion has a way of showing God weak and not strong. And it shows man as being the additive to help God out. But God doesn't need no help. Somebody said he's God all by himself. Huh? Come on, tell somebody he's God all by himself. See, this is the God who desires a personal relationship with you. And so he's all powerful. He's all powerful. Look at Colossians 2 and verse 9. the Bible speaking about Jesus says, for in him dwells all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. So when we read that scripture, we're thinking about Jesus. When you looked at Jesus, you saw the entire Godhead in a bodily form. So when you looked at Jesus, you were looking at Elohim, meaning the all-powerful, mighty God who has complete creativity was in Jesus. And when you receive Jesus, you receive Elohim into your life. Now that's important, and we'll look at that in a moment. But look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 16. For by him all things were created. There we go again. That are in heaven and that are on earth, visible and invisible. Whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. Now when we introduced the word Elohim, we said it is complete creativity. So we know that the Godhead, the Father, was in Jesus. The Son is in Jesus. The Spirit is in Jesus. And Elohim, or all that God is manifested in Jesus. So when you receive Christ as your personal Savior, you receive Elohim, complete creativity, and all power and dominion, which is very, very powerful for us to know tonight. Because Paul said in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, listen to this. He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the what? Power of God to salvation. He was saying when you receive Christ, you are receiving the all-powerful Elohim. It is the power of salvation. That's God who created heaven and earth. Now, this is why the Pharisees got so uptight about Jesus when he said, before Abraham was, I am. They were like, how can you be older than Abraham? You're only 30-something. They didn't get it. But what he was telling them is, I was there. I created the heavens and the earth. I gave life to y'all. He was in the beginning, right? He was God, right? He is God. He was with God. He is God. The flesh began to house God. That's Emmanuel. But we understand that according to what Paul was saying in Romans chapter 1, 16, because we have to realize that all power and all creativity are in Christ, which is in Elohim. And that means that makes you pretty awesome. That makes you something that nothing else can deal with. That makes you and me all powerful and all creative. Now watch what happens here, because we go to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. It says, then God said, let what? Us make man in our image according to our likeness. In other words, he introduces the Godhead in the creative process. And that's important because Elohim, El meaning creative, all powerful, but Ohim meaning plural. It's written in the plural in Hebrew, which tells us then that God is all powerful, all creative, plural. This is very, very important for the church. That's why we cannot excuse the Holy Spirit from our church services. Amen? Or the Word from our church services. Right? Why? Because the Holy Spirit hovers over the earth. We read that in Genesis chapter 1, verses 2 to 3. So when you and I give a place for the Holy Spirit, when we give hovering, maneuvering space to the Holy Spirit, he's going to do his thing. And what is that? Create or recreate. Oh, that's exciting to me. Why is that exciting? Because the earth was what? Without form and void, and darkness covered the earth. But it wasn't long, because the Holy Spirit moved in, and because he's Elohim, He was able to take all his might, all his creativity, and release it into that which had no form and that was void and that was covered with darkness. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now let me tell you about the Jesus that lives up inside of you. He's Elohim. Let me tell you something about the Holy Spirit that's moved into this room when we started worshiping tonight. That's Elohim. What does that mean? He's hovering over your... He's hovering over your ruins. Rubble. Darkness. Void. Whatever you're missing, he's hovering over it. And it just comes natural for the Holy Spirit to take that which has no form, that's void of anything and covered in darkness, and watch out. That's why you and I have to hunger for the presence of the Holy Spirit. That's why you and I have to revere the Word of God. We welcome the Lord into our life daily. We walk it and we live it and we expect God to move. So we see then in 2 Corinthians 5:17 the reality of the scripture. You know the scripture, but here's what it says. He said, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, if anyone is in Elohim, because Christ and Elohim is one. Jesus is in Elohim. The Spirit is in Elohim. The Father is in Elohim. El, all powerful, all creative. Ohim, plural. The Godhead in one. So when you have Jesus, you have Elohim. So now I've got all power and all creativity. That's why Paul said, if any man be in Elohim, any man be in Christ, he is what? A new creature. This is the part I like. Old things. Okay, wave goodbye to old things. Bye, old things. Hello, new things. He said, old things are passing away. Behold, all things are becoming new. Not by might, not by power, but by his Spirit, by Elohim. He has the ability to make things new in me. I can't expect to stay the same. If there's void in my life, if there's darkness in my life, if I'm a mess, it's only temporary. Come back and see me in a week. Maybe it'll take a 6 month or maybe a year, but I'm not going to say the same. You know, you say, well, you know, Pastor, you're different. Yeah, that's right, because I haven't been, I'm not where I'm going, and I haven't been here long. This is a new me tonight. I got transformed over the week, sometime overnight, sometime in a flash of a moment when I'm in my word and Holy Spirit moves on me. It's like, ah, that which was in darkness suddenly came to light. If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Isn't that exciting? Church, that is so exciting to me to know that I don't have to stay the way I've been. That's what we're going to talk a little bit about Sunday. He's changed us from glory to glory. We're on a journey called glory. And let me tell you, that journey is not always easy. There are some maras in that journey. We'll get to that on Sunday. But watch this now. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8 says, ye shall receive power. When the Holy Spirit has come upon you, you shall be my witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the end of the earth. You shall receive Elohim. You shall receive all power and might and the creative ability when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Because if you have the Holy Spirit, you have Elohim. You can't have Elohim. You can't have the Holy Spirit and not have Elohim. You can't have the Word and not have Elohim. You can't have Jesus and not have Elohim. You see what I'm saying? You get one, you have them all. And we can't paint a picture of Jesus being effeminate, weak, detached, and unable. Right? God is able. Amen? Lift your hand up. I'm going to get the Pentecostal going now. Wave it at me a little bit and say, he's able? That was pretty good. You did good. Some of you did really good. So God is able, you see, because he's given us an everlasting covenant. So the covenant that God has given us is one of might. Now, Genesis chapter 12, verses 1 to 3, he makes a covenant with Abraham, and he says these words. He said, "The Lord God said to Abraham, get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house to a land that I'm going to show you." In verse 2, he talks about how he's going to make him a great nation. He said, "I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to make your name great, and you shall be a blessing." Now, when you read that, you think, boy, I don't know, that's good for Abraham, but not me. See, Abraham had to come in touch with who was talking to him. Because who was talking to him right there was Elohim. So Elohim was saying, "I'm going to bless you. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to do this." And Abraham said, "Okay, I know that he can do it. If it's Elohim talking, I know he has the ability, the power, the might, and the creativity to do just what he said." So Abraham began to believe God. He said, "I'm going to bless those who bless you. I'm going to curse those who curse you. And in you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." I wish we could just spend time on that last section, but we don't have time to do that. But he reveals himself as Elohim. But in chapter 15 of Genesis, he does not reveal himself as Elohim. He reveals himself as Jehovah. Now, that's very important. We'll get into that later, maybe down the weeks. I'm not sure. We're going to ask the Lord whether we're going to go there or not. But Jehovah versus Elohim. See, he had to understand, because in Genesis 15, he brought Abraham out and he said, "Abraham, I know you're waiting on this baby thing and it's not happening. And I know you're getting a little discouraged. Come on out here." And he said, "Look at the stars of the sky. You see all those stars up there?" And he said, "Yes, Lord, I see them." He said, "You're going to have more babies than that. See all the sand on the seashore? You're going to have more babies than that." And Abraham's like, "Wow." But see, this time it wasn't Elohim talking. It was Jehovah talking. And the reason why he needed to hear from Elohim and Jehovah is because Jehovah was telling him how he was going to be blessed. And Elohim was going to say, "I've got the power to bring the blessing to pass." And so you see, in Christ is the Godhead bodily. So if God's given you a promise, he has the power to bring it to pass. Not only does he want to bless you, not only does he want to have you reach your full potential, not only does God want to have that which is in you come out and be a blessing to the nations, but he has the ability, the power, the creativity to bring it out of you. And I believe in the body of Christ, there lies dormant all of God's intentions, because we haven't brought out the potential of people. And of course, Miles Monroe is a great teacher of this truth. He said the graveyard is the wealthiest place in the earth. And all of those ideas and all of that creativity that died with the person who never reached their potential. And the body of Christ had such potential, but we've got to come to the realization that we have an Elohim that is able to bless us, a Jehovah that will give us the blessing, and an Elohim that will bring it to pass. I'm telling you, you're in line tonight for some big things in the future. You better get ready, because your life is not going to stay the same. Some of you have been comfortable being dark without form and void, but guess what? Over. It's over. You better get ready to be like a new earth. I mean, blue sky, sunshine, bluebird flying on your shoulder, pretty blue Caribbean blue ocean. Come on now. God's going to create something beautiful out of our lives. And the devil's telling us, no. Darkness, ruin, you're in trouble. You don't have any potential. It's never going to happen. And that is a lie. And we know that God is greater. Of course he is. He's God is greater. So Genesis 15, he made a covenant with Abraham to give him a child. And when you and I come into covenant with God, he also promises to give you your potential. He said, "You are going to have the baby, not Eleazar. He's not going to be in your inheritance. You, out of your loins, out of you, you've got the potential, and I've got the power to bring it to pass." You get what I'm talking about? See, everybody in here has a potential. Some of you say, "I'm too old." Some of you say, "I'm too young." Some of us say, "Well, I'm not educated enough." We come up with all the reasons Abraham did. But God said, "Look, it's not about you, Abraham. I put it in you. And if it wasn't for me, it would never come out of you. But because it's me and I'm Elohim and I've decided to bless you, what's in you is coming out of you. And it may take a while to get out, but I'm going to tell you right now, you hold on, because it's coming to pass. I said, I'm going to bless you, and I'm going to bless you." Church, I just want you to know the kingdom of God is about to explode in northeastern Ohio. I mean, I'm talking about big potential. Things are going to happen. Miracles are going to take place. I mean, we're putting a couple guys on a plane tomorrow morning. Pastor Troy and John Craker are leaving for Haiti in the morning. They said, nobody's going into Haiti. They're not letting them in until April. And we got a call, we got a plane, and we're going. Now, what are we going to do? We're going to bring and assess. We're going to assess the medical needs. We're going to assess the trauma counseling needs. We're going to see what we need to do. And we're going to fly in. We're going to be picked up. And we're going to meet with some teams. God's going to show us favor. All day long, I kept hearing, God said, get ready for the miraculous. Because the miraculous is always present in the desert. It's always present in the wilderness. You know, you're going to preach my sermon on Sunday, but I'm just going to tell you this right now. There was no ram in the desert that Abraham could see, but the ram was there. There was no well for Hagar to drink from when her and her son were about to die, but the well was there. There was no bread to eat until the morning dew turned into the flaky substance. They didn't know what it was, and it was called manna, but it was in the wilderness. And I told those guys, when you guys go tomorrow, let me tell you something. There is supernatural, miraculous things that are going to come out of that rubble. Thank God CNN is already there. Thank God Anderson Cooper has got his camera. Because when they lay hands on the dead and watch them recover for the glory of God. Come on, somebody. It's Elohim doing his thing. Not me. We have no power. It's Elohim. But it's the recognition that we're on assignment. We're not there just to bring relief in a social way. We're there to introduce them to Jehovah Elohim, their potential. I'm excited. I can hardly wait. I said, you get a world phone? Get a world phone. Get a satellite phone. You got to be calling me. Let me know what God's doing. I know there's going to be some powerful things. So you see, we're talking about reaching our potential. You see, you and I have a response that we need to make to God's promises. And this is where the challenge comes. This is where the challenge comes, because when Abraham responded, delay came. No baby. They started laughing at God. Hey, come on, God, you got to be kidding. Come on. Sarah laughed too. God said, you laughed. She goes, no, I didn't. Yeah, you did. I heard you. That's what she said, I heard you laugh. But this time next year, you're going to have a baby. Because I see what's in you, and I'm the only one that can bring it out. But Lord, don't you know that my body is like dead? It's too late. He said, you know, I don't deal with that stuff. You deal with that stuff. I'm Elohim. So I don't know what you think is past due or way beyond or too late for. Doesn't matter, because Elohim is not regulated by time or natural obstacles or someone else's no. A man says no. What does that mean? Absolutely nothing when God says, I'm going to bring it to pass. And this is the kind of God you serve. This is who is in you. He's like big. He's a big God. So the first thing Abraham did, he said, I'm going to build God an altar. I'm going to build him an altar, and I'm going to sacrifice to him. And when we get the promise of God, when we get the blessing of God in our life, we just want to thank him. We build an altar. And this place that he built an altar was right between two cities, Ai and Bethel. And it's interesting because Bethel means the house of God, but Ai means a place of ruin. You see, Abraham had just come out of the rubble, still not quite dusted off, but blessed. Still not quite healed from all the bruises, but yet blessed and on his way to his potential. Halfway there, he stopped and built an altar to God. You see, some of us haven't realized yet the promises of God. It hasn't come to pass yet. We still can remember the pain of our past. We can still identify with the loss of even our present. But we're building an altar. We're worshiping God. We're believing him. And that's what Abraham did. He built an altar halfway between his mess and his miracle. And I just want to tell you tonight, Get your altar built. Start thanking God. Even though you can still hear the cries of the pain of your past, get your focus on the future and on what God said that he's going to do. This is the challenge in the body of Christ, you see, because we're constantly drawn back to what we have known. And that was the problem with Egypt. You know, you can get Israel out of Egypt, but it was tough getting Egypt out of Israel. And that's where you and I have to deal with all the time. The second thing Abraham had to do is he had to recognize that when famine comes or when there's lack, God has provision, and he had to go to Egypt. Now, Egypt wasn't in the plan. The promised land was the plan. But he said, I'm going to go to Egypt because there's no bread in Israel. What's interesting about that is when the famine was finished, God sent him back to the promised land, and his altar had been destroyed. The altar he built between the ruin of his life and the blessing of his life had been destroyed. He comes back from lack and shortage, feeling like God's going to bless him, and he comes to offer God thanks, and the altar is gone. And he says, I'm going to rebuild this. And some of us have been through so many battles that we're almost convinced by the devil that he's really not all-powerful or all-creative. But he is. Build your altar again. But he didn't build it this time between the ruins and the house of God. He built it between two different cities. He built it between the cities of Hebron, which means fellowship, and Mamre, which means fatness. He said, what I have to have is intimacy with the Holy Spirit. I can't just offer God thanksgiving and praise and remember the ruin of my life and hope for the blessing of God in my life. This time, I come out of lack and I come out of famine, and I'm going to build an altar. I'm going to build a place with God where I'm intimate with the Holy Spirit. And if the Holy Spirit speaks, I'll listen. I know you're going to think I'm silly, but I'm going to use this illustration because it was true. It happened. It was true. Today it happened. We were on our cruise having fun, and my glasses blew off and went into the Caribbean. $500 glasses on the bottom of the deep blue sea. So I had to come back and get more glasses. And so I walked in, gets my glasses, and I had another pair, but I had lost them. Here they are. They're found now. But I couldn't find them. I went through the car. I went through all my clothes. I've been looking and looking and looking, and I couldn't find them. And this afternoon, I yelled. I said, Tina, I think the Holy Spirit just told me where my glasses are. I know that sounds silly to some of you, but I've been looking and looking, and I said, maybe I should ask God. I said, I think they're under the couch. I think they are, and I haven't had them for 3 months or more. I can't find them. I gave up on them. I said, they're gone. I don't know where they are. They're just gone. And I walked in, and I got down on my knees, and there they were, right under the couch where Jesus said they were. And I went, I grabbed them. I said, Tina, the Holy Spirit just told me where my glasses are. She said, great, honey. What time are we leaving for church? But it was a big deal for me. Abraham came back from lack and famine and a ruined altar between his past and his future, and developed a fellowship intimacy with God. And that's what I'm asking you tonight, to develop that fellowship and intimacy with God. And then in Genesis 13, 17, the Bible says in Genesis 13 and 17 that Abraham was told by God, arise, walk in the land through its length and its width, for I'm going to give it to you. It's such a blessing, you know, when you get a promise from God and you want to go through it and you think, oh God, this is so good, and I'm believing you for this, and oh, I can hardly wait till it comes to pass. And you can feel it, you can touch it, you walk through it, but it hasn't really come to pass yet, but you know it will. It's like, oh God, I can, oh, this is awesome. And you get to prophesy about it. And as soon as you do that, some ugly old king rises up and gets some other ugly kings and fights you. Right in the land that God said you were supposed to have. And that's what happened to Abraham. They came and attacked Sodom. They attacked Gomorrah. They took Lot and his family. And they just took all the spoil. And Abraham said, not on my watch. This land belongs to me. This isn't even about Lot. This is about what God said about my land. And you just made an invasion in what God said I'm supposed to possess. And so he got all of his servants together. They were some bad dudes, weren't they? Just his servants together and defeated like five kings. And some of us, after intimacy with the Holy Spirit, you're going to have to fight once again. And I know you've been battle weary and you've gone through some tough times and there's been some battles, but it's all right because this time it's for the whole thing. It's for the all the 9 yards. You know what I'm saying? And we're talking about the whole kahuna. And we're talking about the promise of God. And church, if I can stir you up, don't grow weary in well-doing. We are so close to coming through and possessing what God says we're going to have in our generation. We are like right there. And these old ugly kings are raising up their heads and they're trying to battle us. And the reason why they're battling you is because they know you're about to possess what God said you're going to have. So one more time, one more battle, one more fight. Can you do it? Can you go to God and say with intimacy and fellowship of the Holy Spirit, I know that I can fight this fight of faith and take possession of what God said I can have. And that's where I believe we are as a church. We can grumble, complain about lack. We can blame it on our leaders. We can get mad at our spouse. We can pursue our flesh. We can just go back to the world, or you can rebuild your altar, and you can say with God's help, we're going to possess what he told us we can have. And the thing about this is, nobody's going to do it for you. I can't do it for you. You can't do it for me. But we must do it together. And as a church, we are doing it together. I have never been more encouraged in my entire ministry. I've never been more power of God being released than today. I have never seen the joy of the Lord, the depth of God's peace like I've seen it today. Sweeping over the lives of people, open doors, opportunities, miracles are going to take place. I am so sorry. I regret to see the lives of nearly 200,000 Haitians, of people I love who I've been there and invested in and I've worked with, who lost their life. But if only they'll leave the ruin and build an altar on their way to the house of God. They are postured to come up out of the rubble and out of the ruin and become a example of what God will do. The hours, the investments, the beauty, the people that have prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed for Haiti. People that have given their life on that island. The lady and her husband who introduced us to the ministry, who gave their very life, all their life. And introduced us and said, you must now take it and raise up an orphanage who her board of directors. Why I'm telling you this, but anyway, so you'll know we all have to battle. Her board of directors fired her and took possession of the property because they lost the vision. And here comes a couple of upstarts who know nothing about the nation, just a zeal, and she says to us, God's going to save Haiti. She reached her 80th year or so, came to our church and saying how God loves the Haitian people. You don't know the depth of the foundation upon which you stand. I didn't know Jack, her husband, he'd already died. Stressed, worn out. I don't even know. Was he killed? I can't remember. Heart attack. The foundation upon which you and I stand, of those that have gone before us, who believed every word in this Bible, who knew that God was able. No. Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and you go on and on. My goodness, church, we are standing upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. We are so close to seeing this thing come to pass because you serve Elohim. God's going to raise that nation up, and that's only going to be the first. Nations are being transformed. I just got a report about Nepal. Nations are going to be transformed. It may look bad. It may look like revolution. It may look like there is nothing but murder and loss of life. But no. God has a plan. He's just looking for somebody to build an altar, somebody to get intimate with him and the Holy Spirit, somebody to believe that when you walk in the promises that you can possess it and that you're not going to back down and you're going to embrace it and you're going to walk to your land and say, not on our watch. And that's what Abraham did. And he went and rescued Lot. He rescued Lot. He rescued a generation who was tantalized by what they see. When he said, you pick where you want to go and I'll go where you don't want to go. And Lot lifted up his eyes and saw that the valley was fertile. And he chose for himself. And Abraham said, I will let God do the choosing. And even in the midst of that, when he had perverted his life, when he had gone from God, and when he was captured, Abraham rose up and said, you're part of the destiny of my land, and I will not let you die. So if you're uncomfortable with people in church of questionable character, or backgrounds that make you nervous, I'm just going to give you a warning, they're coming. Alcoholics, homosexuals, drug addicts, thieves. They're coming. God says this, go get them. They're under siege. Go get them and bring them back. So you see, we have a great future as a church. God told Abraham, we have a relationship between ourselves. It's a covenant. Did you know you have a relationship with God? It's a covenant. He says, whatever is mine is yours. So his creative ability, his all creative ability belongs to you. To God, I don't know what to do. Tap into Elohim. God, I don't know what to say. Tap into Jehovah. El Elyon, El Shaddai. Oh my goodness, don't make me preach. We'll stop right there. But you see, that land was for his seed. So this isn't really about you, is it? It's about your seed. It's about who's coming after you. Abraham was conquering this land for his seed. He saw through himself into the future of what was depending on him. All of heaven was looking to see if Abraham could become one with Elohim, the creator of heaven and earth. And Jesus said, I've upheld all things by the word of my power. And he wants to use you that way. And he wants to use me that way. In other words, he wants to co-create with you. Isn't that wild? God would use me, a C+ average student. A hamburger flipper. Former crook, alcoholic, and God says, I want to co-create with you, dude. We're in relationship. Do you realize who's in you? Elohim. Ah! Don't get me too close to me now. Elohim might just come out. See? Hebrews 11:11. I'm going to finish with this. By faith, Sarah saw herself also receiving strength to conceive seed. And she bore a child when she was past the age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. I like that. Receive strength to conceive seed. Strength comes from the Greek word dunamis, of which we understand means miracle working power. Thus we read it like this. She received miracle working power to conceive seed. Woo! I mean, you don't need a man. You know what I'm talking about? You don't need the natural system to conceive what God's put in you and birth. Just the power of God. And so God opens the book. In the beginning, Elohim. And he introduces to you and me his greatness and power and complete creativity. So we'll get it right out of the gate. And unfortunately, so many of us haven't got it. But a little girl, Mary, got it, didn't she? After the Holy Spirit comes on you, they said, you're going to conceive a child. And he will be a savior to the world. Me? Or Gideon of old hiding out in the wine press? The least of me, I'm the least. God said, rise up, O mighty man of valor. Me? He said, well, I'm just going to use you. It's really me, but come on. I like that about God because I don't have to qualify other than my faith to believe that he wants to do it. That's all I got to do. Okay, God, I can do that. And then sit back and enjoy the ride. Church, we are on the precipice of greatness. Strength comes from dunamis. And ye shall receive power, dunamis, after the Holy Spirit comes on you. So my prayer tonight is that we would reintroduce ourselves to Elohim. We would reintroduce ourselves to a couple of things. Put that music on for me. You guys don't have to get up. We'd reintroduce ourselves to the fact that until you can leave the ruins and on your way to the house of God, if the storms of life built an altar and worship. I guess that's symbolic of God, you saved my sin-sick soul and put my feet on a solid rock, and I don't deserve it. So I just want to say thank you. Can you say thank you with me? I don't deserve heaven. I don't deserve to live. But you in your infinite mercy pulled me out and spared my life. And for this I will worship you. And in the journeys of God, in the journeys of life, God will at times permit things to happen. And Abraham found himself in Egypt because there was lack and famine all around his life. And while he was gone, his thankfulness to God, his altar, got broken down. And some of us in our lack and our pain and our trouble have allowed our altar of thankfulness to go in disarray. I got to go back. The first thing I do when I leave Egypt is I've got to go back and rebuild what I've lost. But this time, it's not about my ruins and my trip to the house of God. It's all about fellowship. And it's all about intimacy with the Holy Spirit. So I'm building a new altar tonight, God. Can you tell him that? I'm building a new altar tonight. It's in your presence. That's where I want to be. So with me, just tell him that, would you? Turn that up a little bit, would you? I can't live without your anointing. I can't do it. I can't live one day without it, God. I can't live without your fellowship. So I'm rebuilding my altar of total dependency on you. That's what I need. It's a beautiful thing. It's a wonderful thing. Yeah, to be in his presence and to know that God's anointing is fresh. And Abraham reestablished that relationship with the living God, Elohim. And suddenly the news came. Abraham, we're under attack.
I am yours.
And Abraham said, this land is mine.
For all my days.
This land is mine. Jesus, this is my promise. Jehovah told me.
I am yours.
And so they gathered together against
yours.
Mighty kings, more
all
mighty than they,
days,
and fought
Jesus,
for the promise.
I am yours.
I'm going to ask you tonight to get a holy resolve to fight for the promise of God. It's your land. It's your church. It's your call. It's your giftings. It's yours. Fight for it. And we're going to win.
I'm yours. I'm yours forever.
And I didn't get to this part of the story.
I'm yours forever.
But I've got to tell you,
I'm yours,
Abraham,
I'm yours forever.
He said, you know, I've been to the altar and I've built it of thankfulness, and I've been to the altar of intimacy and fellowship with the Holy Spirit, and I've won in battle, God, of that which you've promised me, but just give me Jesus. And there he and Melchizedek met together, and he gave the tithe, and Melchizedek blessed him. So as we stand tonight, come on, stand. I want you to stand in his presence and ask for the blessing of your Melchizedek, your high priest, Jesus. The tithe represented all that he had, all of his increase and all of his strength. And if you give that to him tonight, he in turn will bless you. So King Jesus, we ask in the closing moments of this meeting, an altar is not enough for us. We are so hungry. We just want you. And like Abraham, our example, who came just before you, it wouldn't take any increase from the hand of man, because he said, it is my God that has made me rich. I've come to depend on him and him alone. And now I pray, King Jesus, bless me. Bless me, Lord. And Melchizedek reached over and laid his hand on Abraham and blessed him. And so, Lord, that's what we ask tonight. The blessing of Abraham. Give us the blessing of Abraham. Toys or houses or cars or trinkets. No, no, God. The blessing, the empowerment that you laid upon Abraham.
For that's what we're hungry for, God. And we worship you and exalt you tonight. And I pray, God, that our church be a powerful church, a church of creativity and a church of birthing. Never be the same. Thank you, Lord. Giving you all praise and glory. In Jesus' name. Pray for those two guys and the rest of the team members that are going to be meeting in Florida tomorrow. There's a small plane that we're renting. It's going to fly from Fort Lauderdale into, where are we flying into? In the north? Capriche? How's it say? Anybody know? Anyway, it's a northern remote area, and we're driving all the way down south to Destiny Village. And we're taking, so pray, we're taking thousands of dollars with us in cash because we have to buy medical supplies, food, diesel fuel. They're out of everything. So, and then we're going to do an assessment as to what the needs are, and pray for Pastor Troy and for John and the rest of the team because they'll fly in a little puddle jumper type thing all the way to Haiti. But I believe for their success, don't you? And thank you for your generosities. Thank you. You all have given so beautifully to this Haiti relief. We have much to take, and we're taking. We sent $10,000 today via bank. We'll be taking another 10 or so, maybe even more with us tomorrow. Well, they'll be taking it. I'll see you on Sunday.